Blog Talk Radio.
Find yourself in danger when you're threatened by a stranger. When it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show, brought to you by Tractor Supply, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens, and national spokesperson for the USDA Biosecurity for Birds program. Today is, guess what? Today is Tuesday, April 16th. Very special show today. And I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, in fact, year-round gardening, cooking, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter, and that is @@ Backyard Poultry, and become a fan on Facebook, facebook.com/TheChickenWhisperer. More chicken fans on Facebook than any other chicken-related Facebook on the planet. Thank you very much, fans. We're teetering around 70,000. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Tractor Supply. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. Did you know that this next company is a nonprofit? Every item you buy from Crazy K Farm, it's nonprofit. They don't make any money off the sale of their awesome items like the Hen Saver, and the money goes to help homeless chickens and animals and dogs and basically the whole farm. It is a nonprofit. So support these great folks. Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo,
denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com. It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com. Introducing the Chicken Fountain, a new way to water your flock. The Chicken Fountain will change your life and keep your chickens healthier by providing clean, fresh water every time. No more daily cleaning of dirty chicken waterers. This semi-sealed system keeps every drop of water fresh and clean. Proudly made in the USA, the Chicken Fountain will provide your flock with fresh, clean water for years to come. To order your Chicken Fountain, visit chickenfountain.com. That's chickenfountain.com.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We got a great episode for you today. We have, again, Prepper Penny, who's going to be joining us. And as she's starting to come on more frequently, she's giving us a lot of great information and education on, prepping and food storage and starting your home store and just things to think about in this day and age. And she's starting out really for the beginner. If you're not really sure what it's about, or so some of the topics today will be kind of getting started, little things you may not think about, like the special tool that you need to open those buckets, those big barrels of water you collect. So yeah, there's a special tool for that. Different things like that we're going to be talking about. We've had her on a couple of times, and great information about, again, not just prepping, but preparing and food storage and preparing food for long-term storage and starting your home store and things like that. So we got a great show lined up for you today. Want to remind you once again that we've got a great chicken coop contest going on right now. We've given away more chicken coops than anybody on this great planet. The planet! And we're giving away another one here in April, thanks to MyPetChicken.com, Derek and Tracy over there. And are you collecting the passwords? I hope you are. There will be 30 passwords issued every day for the month of April. So one password every day for the month of April, which means a total of 30 passwords. Within the passwords themselves, there is a secret message that's kind of embedded in the passwords. So maybe you can try to figure that out as well as we issue the passwords. So every day. Yeah, not 30 every day. Boy, that would be a hoot, wouldn't it, having to post on Facebook 30 times a day? No. One password every day on our Facebook page, Twitter page is the same, and for the 30 days of April. And then maybe on May 1st, May 2nd, we're actually going to give that coop away. So stay tuned on what coop we're giving away. It's brand spanking new. Nobody even owns one yet. No one's probably even seen a picture of it yet. It's a secret. It's a brand new release. So how cool is that? And so we're really looking forward to that. So we'll give you the idea of what you're going to have. More than likely it'll be, hey, you call in, you recite the 30 passwords correctly. If you know the embedded puzzle, you might get a bonus prize. If you don't, we'll go to another caller to see if they know the bonus prize. So, we'll figure all that out as we go on. But your main concern right now, if you want to have a chance to win that awesome chicken coop, is to collect those daily passwords that we post on our Facebook page that then also is automatically posted on our Twitter page as well. So good luck to all of you. Hope you have great, great, great fun with this. Lots of people have made great comments about how fun it is, and they're just waiting and chomping at the bit to wait for that next password on our Facebook page. I want to share with you what's going on for the rest of the week. Today, of course, we got Prepper Penny. Tomorrow is another great episode of Garden Wise Living with Arlena. Tune in to hear about year-round gardening and what wine she might be partaking in tomorrow. That'll be great. This Thursday, we've got poultry scientist and professor Dr. Bridget McRae, PhD, and no show on Friday. We'll be on the road on Friday. In fact, we are leaving again right after the show Thursday, right after we say goodbye to Dr. McRae. We'll be hopping in the Chicken Whisperer Mobile. And heading south to Mobile, so no show on Friday. And then Saturday is my big event there in Mobile with the Mobile Master Gardeners Group and Book Club. And so I think there may still be some spots for that open if you want to attend, if you're down there in the Mobile, Pensacola area. I believe it's $28. It includes a box lunch for that day on Saturday. There's two speakers. There's me and another person, author as well. And the morning session, you're in two different rooms, and then you switch. So in the morning, if you have the Chicken Whisperer, in the afternoon, you'll have the other guest. If you have the other guest in the morning, you'll come into my room in the afternoon and talk all about backyard poultry. That's this coming Saturday. In Mobile, Alabama. And then, just to let you know, I'm going to take the next week off and enjoy my family. I normally take 4 weeks off. We try to broadcast, as you know, as much as we possibly can in the tour and the whole nine yards. But I normally take 4 weeks off per year from broadcasting. The week of Thanksgiving, the week between Christmas and New Year's, 1 week for spring break, and then 1 week right before school starts back, because Jen's always been a teacher, and we give her that week to recoup before she has to start her teaching. So since we did broadcast during our official spring break when we were on the road and had some shows, we haven't had our official week off for spring break. And so we'll be taking next week off. So our last show will be April the 18th, this Thursday, with Dr. McRae. No show on Friday. We will be on the road to enjoy our spring break. It'll be kind of a working spring break a little bit, but because we have the thing in Mobile on Saturday, and I'm visiting with a sponsor, Brincy Products, down in Titusville, Florida, sometime next week, and I have lunch with them, as always, when we're down there. But no radio shows the week of the 22nd, April 22nd. Monday is my birthday as well. So no shows that week. We'll return on Monday the 29th. Not saying we'll be back at the homestead on the 29th. We may take an extended break, but we will have the radio shows will resume on Monday the 29th of April. And then, of course, somewhere around the 1st or 2nd, we'll give away that awesome chicken coop. How cool is that? Can you imagine getting calling in and winning that awesome chicken coop or other related prizes because you work so hard collecting those passwords? I mean, here it is, April, May, and you're winning this awesome prize. I mean, it would almost seem like that if you won, it would be like Christmas morning. Bye. Yep, winning that coop would almost be like Christmas morning. How about it? So I had to get that played for all the crazy Christmas folks out there, including Christmas Chick in the chat room. So enough of that. Let's get over here to the phone lines and the switchboard, and I believe we got Prepper Penny in queue. We're going to go right on over there right now and bring her live. Prepper Penny, thanks for joining us again. So good to have you on.
It's so good to be here again, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing very well. It's really been my busy season, and every now and then everything runs together. So between getting home at 3:35 a.m. Monday morning and changing everything out and getting ready to hit the road again Thursday, and then it's all in good fun, and spreading the chicken love all across the country is what we do. So we love it, meeting the folks across the country and chatting with them, giving them a big bear hug and hearing
from
them.
Well, when are you going to be out here to Washington?
That's a long drive.
You betcha.
That's a long drive hauling a camper, too. Oh, my goodness. I can't
but
even imagine.
But you've got a lot of fans.
Yeah, and a lot of fans up the West Coast, California. They're always like, hey, you got to get out here. You got to get out here. So I don't know. We're thinking about, this is going to sound crazy, but we're thinking about coming out there to Las Vegas. Now, we're not Vegas fans. We're not gamblers, because Jen doesn't let me. That's why we're not. She knows I would get out of hand. She knows the ramifications there. But we may be thinking about coming to Vegas next March for the Monster Jam Monster Truck World Finals. And I know that sounds crazy, but with Caleb, because he loves trucks. And so that's in Vegas. So if we do that, we're thinking about maybe not towing our RV, but maybe renting an RV, a true motorhome, and driving out there for that event, and then continuing on maybe up the West Coast. So we'll have to see. If we get that far out there, I may have to incorporate some business as well with that trip. So we'll just have to see if we can get out there for maybe sometime next year. Now, I know that this coming up June, it looks like we'll be in the Carolinas with Tractor Supply, and then I've got to plan an early fall trip, like maybe September. I'm not sure where that's going to take us. And then I've got another one probably around Thanksgiving that we'll take with Tractor Supply. I don't think they'll be sending us out to California anytime soon, but maybe on our own time we can try to get out there. So just yes, that would
be well received, and your family would be welcome too.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So, hope things have been going good really with you, and all is well. And we're back talking about everything, kind of preparedness and food storage and things like that. And like you said, when we talked, we got new listeners that are just learning about this and tune in when you're on. And so we wanted to start very basic, not getting too much advanced. So things that they may not always think about, little tools they may need or use, from manual can openers to special tools to open those big drums of water they may keeping and things like that. So I know you wanted to touch a little bit on that, so I'm going to hand it over to you, and you can educate us all on kind of things we may not think about when we're getting started with, like I said, or maybe getting some Thrive 30-year food, long storage food, and how to open those, how to reseal them, the water, just the whole nine yards. So we're all ears.
Okay, well, when I started out prepping, you know, I did it much like every new prepper, and that is by going to YouTube and Googling and going to a lot of blog talks and that. And what I found in there were people that are really well advanced, really well diverse in, you know, their prepper activities. But I was so new that it made me, I was lost a lot. And I made a lot of mistakes when I very first started out, you know, buying things that I shouldn't have bought, overlooking things that were very fundamental. But the fundamental things are what a lot of the advanced preppers seem to overlook when they're addressing people who are just starting out. And so, you know, I've been through it all, and that's why I felt that it was probably important to start blogging and my Facebook page in order to help people transition over from just being interested in it and feeling overwhelmed into just getting those baby steps started. And I think I've been really successful with that. And, you know, according to the kinds of messages that I get privately and emails, it's worked really well. And I feel very blessed to be able to have had this kind of calling, to be able to help people through it. And it doesn't need to be something that you're preparing for the end of the world. It can be that you live in an area where there are a lot of hurricanes or tornadoes through the Tornado Alley area, which is where I grew up. Out here on the West Coast, we have natural disasters like earthquakes, and just a couple of weeks ago here in Washington, it made national news. I don't know if anyone heard it, but we had a major landslide, and part of one of our islands just fell off. And you just never know what kind of emergencies you're going to have, so you don't have to be expecting those weird fringe kind of elements to know that you need to prepare yourself and your home. And in doing so, you know, in getting the foods and things that I needed, and I did not know anything about long-term food storage, but I was buying things off the shelves. There are companies that now sell products that are for long-term storage at major chains, Walmart and so forth. Thrive is selling large packages, Costco is selling large packages of Thrive foods. But, you know, I transitioned and had tried all the different brands of food that's out there, and there are some really wonderful foods and very little difference in a lot of respects to many of them. But when I went to Thrive, and this is why I advocate for it so much, is I started buying Thrive, but they taught me how to really use it in my daily rotation of food, and they taught me how much food that I needed to store for my family, which is always a very big question, but it's so unique to each individual and individual family that it's you can't say just, you know, X amount of this and that. To a certain degree on the very basics of water and grains, you could break it down that way, but we don't want to live on boiled wheat berries and water for 3 months if we have some kind of a natural disaster. So there is a program, a software program within the Thrive website where you can plug in just exactly what your family, you know, how many members of your family, and they'll do all the calculation for you. And then the one thing that is so unique about Thrive is that the beginner prepper has so much to get caught up with that the expense would just be overwhelming and backbreaking for most families. Well, the Thrive program has what is called a queue. And the queue is simply where you go into your program and you set up a queue, which is a non-committal, non-contract kind of thing, and you start picking out the types of foods that you would like to have in your food storage to have available in an emergency. And that all that food, you know, it could be hundreds or even thousands of dollars worth of food, and it sits in almost like a layaway program. That's the best I could equate it to. And then you set a budget each month. It could be $50 a month that you divert away from your normal grocery bill budget. And you commit it to your food storage. So every month, Thrive will automatically go in there and choose $50 worth of products that you have sitting in your queue, and they'll automatically ship it to you on whatever day of the month you want it. And that's how I started it. I had set up my queue and started receiving it, and my food storage built so quickly. I was just amazed. You know, a few large number 10 cans of food every month does not take very long to start
adding up.
Yeah, it really did. And again, it was still according to my budget, but then I found that the more I was receiving in the Thrive and learning how to use the Thrive, the more I was able to save on my regular grocery bill budget, and I kept bumping up my Q dollars. So with my rewards and so forth, you know, and them teaching me how to use this in my everyday life, that's when, it was only then that I started to realize that this was, very valuable for other people who specifically were my family and friends. So I became a consultant to help them along, and it just kind of has taken off from there. But I advocate Thrive Food. I'm not a really big salesperson, and you'll see, you know, from my blogs and my and so forth, that I don't get in there and push it, although I'll tell people about sales and stuff. But I'm really here as your consultant and to help you, you know, in getting that. But aside from the food, the Thrive has their emergency equipment store, which is everything from fire extinguishers to 72-hour backpacks to utensils and tools and all the things that you're going to need for fire emergencies or whatever you want to prepare your home for.
I think the biggest tip there is the mistake Jen and I made when we jumped on that bandwagon back in 2007 and 2008 was that I wouldn't say we got into panic mode, but we saw an urgency there, and we just started filtering probably more than we should, because we thought, hey, time is of the essence, and we're not definitely where we need to be. And so we went, I don't even know if I'd say overboard with it. But if you're not careful and you get into that panic mode or that urgency mode and the doom and gloom, then it can really hurt you. I've seen a lot of people go bankrupt and have very financial hardships because they were spending all this money on all of a sudden because they had that urgency. Oh, my gosh, we have to do this, have to do that. And then versus like you're saying that the program that they have at Thrive where you can just go in, set up your account, $50 a month. They will choose, you know, based on your plan and what you already have and what they've already sent you. Number 10 cans, this, that, milk, the veggies, what have you, and then just send it to you every month. You don't have to worry about it. You just log that $50 in your checkbook and every month make sure it comes out, and voila, you've got that shipment and don't even have to worry about it. And I can see how that would add up, like you said, very, very quickly before you know it with all the stuff that's being sent to you automatically. Then you don't have to think about it when you're in the grocery store and say, oh yeah, let me get this or let me get that. It's automatically coming to you at a budget that you set that you feel comfortable with, yet you're still going down that road that you want to go down. So I think that's, out of all that, is very good information, because me and Jen did not do that, and it was we just did it the wrong way. I mean, now we've got all this stuff, which is great, but at the same time we went down the wrong road as far as preparing and wanting to have that instant home storage.
Well, and I would have loved to have come across somebody when I first started that is doing exactly what I'm trying to do here through my blogging and so forth. Mm-hmm. And that is just to have an advocate and somebody to hold your hand to let you know that it doesn't all have to be done tomorrow, although you do have to get started and it needs to be started as soon as possible. But you don't have to have, you know, tons of money to just hurry up and outfit everything in your home that you need, because you have to take baby steps. And the more you learn and the further along you get, like I said, I had started out with a $50 queue, but then I started using the Thrive and not going to the grocery store as much. And I've been able to divert so much more money over into my regular queue account that I'm bursting. My house is just bursting with food and the different products that Thrive has. But the food is absolutely delicious. And I'm trying to show on my blog all the ways that I'm able to convert my regular recipes into meals in a jar, and ways that you can use this product for, you know, Easter Sunday dinner or whatever. I mean, it's really good food. It's really, really superior food. GMO-free, almost everything is GMO-free. We have a line that is being certified organic. We have gluten-free lines. We have a lot of certifications, and they take the needs of the consumer really seriously. And it's two men that started this company and their wives, and they're very reactive to what, you know, we as consultants tell them that our people are needing and wanting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, things to think about as well is that when we started this, we did not have children. And so it was, okay, we had two mouths to feed, basically. Mm-hmm. And then now with Caleb, that's now 22 months, approaching 23 months very quickly, and then a 5-week-old, 6-week-old, then, you know, you have to think about that. Okay, now, you know, am I prepared for we've doubled our mouths to feed, basically, since we started this. So it's time to think, okay, well, I need to get started you know, again, maybe building it up, because, you know, if we had a year supply for Jen and I, and then all of a sudden we double that, now we're down to 6 months or less, and so it's time to think about that. Also, I'm going to throw something out there that sounds kind of maybe macabre. We brought up some things that some people might think are extreme, if you will, but for example, you can probably hear little man in the background. It's lunchtime.
I do.
Yeah, he got his cow, and so thanks. Hey, will you tell Philip to come back by a little bit later? He's right there. Hurry. Okay, sorry. Anyway, I had a buddy that come by. I was going to have him come back by a little bit since I'm broadcasting. So, regardless of what it is, when it hits the fan, we saw it in Katrina where subdivisions were having to protect their own and have guard, things like that. But, enough food to maybe say, hey, you know what? I don't have any money to give you but you know what? The food is scarce. I've got enough food to say, okay, in exchange for your shift being from midnight to 8 a.m. and protecting the grounds, patrolling the grounds, making sure our garden is safe, our livestock safe, our homes are safe, we're safe so we can sleep. In exchange for that, you get 3 hot meals a day or what have you. So having enough food maybe to do that, that's something that's popped up in my mind, especially living where we live now. The 61st poorest county in the nation, where we moved to, and so you have, we have issues with even now with food. So it's one of those things where, having enough food, extra food for that, saying, hey, you take this shift, you take that shift, and for that are working here, you get exchanged for food. So just sounds macabre, but it's something that a lot of people don't think about or may need to think about when it comes to that. So,
the bartering system is going to be real important if it comes to pass what we anticipate that it's going to come to pass. And so bartering is going to be crucial and vital. And real honestly, as prepared as I am in my home, there are members of my family who are not invested in this. And I know that if the time ever comes, that there are friends and family that you would not turn away if they came to your door with a child and they need food. So you have to anticipate that too. And what are you willing to give up in the way of your supplies, even though you've worked really hard and you've advocated and you've preached this sermon to them for years, you're not going to turn these people away. So it's not a matter, certainly you have to get your
food. Speak for yourself.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, Andy. I think if somebody came with a baby to your door, if it was someone you loved, it would be really hard to turn them away and not give them a scrap of food. And where I'm blessed is that I've been doing it long enough and I've accumulated enough, including the skills I need to replenish my own food, through gardening and my backyard chickens and so forth. This whole transition... I used to work in a corporate job. I used to come home and order pizza every night. I didn't have time for anything. And now my life evolves around self-reliance and my chickens getting my eggs and feeding my soil and my soil feeding my seeds and, getting food and canning. And, it's just become a really nice big cycle that I'm very proud of in the small suburban home that I have. I've done an awful lot, and people can do an awful lot to help themselves. But, you do have to get that food storage to start you off, and then you've got to get the skills that are going to maintain you after that food runs out, because food will run out.
That sounds, and you're right, and that sounds something like, and this is a serious topic. I don't want people to think, oh, he's big, bad Chicken Whisperer, supposed to be a Christian, and he's turning away kids that need food, because that's not what it's all about. But that is a very, very, if you think about it, valid issue. Down here where we live, it seems like everybody has 9 kids. For whatever their reasoning may be to have 9 kids. But, you have, that could be a point to where, that could be a very, very valid point all of a sudden. And then, Andy and Jen, I took me and my baby over there and they gave us a good meal. So next thing you know, you've got 2 more families coming with kids and then 9 more families coming with kids. And then 10, and then next thing you know, your own kid is starving. You're starving. You have no food because you fed the entire community that didn't prep or didn't prepare or didn't have the means to. So I think that doesn't sound...
And that point is well taken. You're absolutely right on that. You have to be discreet and you can't take on, you know, the woes of your whole community because they decided to walk around with blinders on. I just know me. And if somebody shows up with a baby, I'd take the baby. Maybe I'd take another baby. But you're right. You have to, you know, be Christian about it, but you have to be realistic as to what you have for your family, and your family's survival is what this is always
about. It may be where you could utilize and say, hey, you know, I've got, you know, I just put these crops in, you know, we need help weeding, we need help, you know, watering, we need help this, that, and the other. And, I need, you know, a helping hand. And, it'd be like this big, I don't know the word, or a commune or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And where they help produce their own food, even though you may provide the seed and the land and things like that. But, yeah, I think I don't want folks to think, oh, you're a big, bad, you know, rude Chicken Whisperer, little baby, turn away your baby, because I'm serious. We people have seen it. It's happened in the past. This is factual information. You know, you have a family come, and the next thing you know, word gets out, and you've got a whole line of folks coming, and then there's riot situations because you fed them and you didn't feed me. And
yeah.
You do that, you know, so I think that's a very valid point that you brought up, and I just want to, you know, let people know that it could be a very valid issue you need to think about if you just start, because they come up with a kid saying, oh, yeah, here, take all this food because they have a baby. But yeah, it would be a decision I hope none of us, me or anybody else, ever has to make. That's the cool thing. It's an insurance that just like people for the first time listening saying, well, this, I don't, you know, and you and I both hear, you know, this will never happen, or what, this, that, or the other. Just ask someone who's lived through Sandy or Katrina or the tornadoes or the hurricanes, Andrew, things like that, whether it be 2 weeks, 2 months, or 3 months, or whatever the case may be. But we hope that it would never, ever have to make that decision, so.
Well, and it's a good way, too, maybe, to convert, because people will look toward me, I'm sure, and others like me and you, to teach them the skills that they're going to need if there is that interruption in food supply that I really think is inevitable. They're going to need to know how to grow their own food. And having, you know, growing your network is going to be really valuable as well, because you can't grow absolutely everything, and at least I can't, in my backyard. And, you know, you're expanding your network and your community of preppers. So, you know, there's a lot of advantages to it, but you're absolutely right. You know, your family has got to come first, and you can't, you know, take food out of the mouths of your children. I couldn't do that either, but it would be so heart-wrenching if I ever have to face anything like that. Just be prepared that you could have to face something like that.
What it reminds me of as on the airplane when they say, put the mask on you first and then put it on your children.
Right.
So whether that, you know, people can kind of relate that to what we're talking about, or, you know, as a paramedic, do you say mommy, do you say baby? If you have that trauma situation or that medical situation, for the decade I worked on the ambulances, like, you know, you're taught that, you know, mom or baby, which comes first? What you know, mom's probably going to say, save the baby. I've already had 30 good years. But you know, as a paramedic, what legally do you have to do? Is it you say mom? You can always have, always have more kids, but I can't always have another gin. So it's,
yeah,
you know, we can have more kids. So it's tough decisions we don't want anybody to ever have to make, Lord knows. But just putting that into relation of someone who hasn't been the paramedic, have had to make that decision, mama or baby, who do I save? Or, you know, put that mask on you first before you put it on your baby when the plane's going down, things like that, just to put it in perspective. So moving on to maybe better topics,
yeah,
and subjects, but you were going to continue with, again, your kind of your outline with what we were talking about today.
Well, you know, and when you start storing your food, you know, let's say that you've got a shed full of number 10 cans of this really delicious food, or even in your great big, you know, 5 gallon or 7.5 gallon buckets. When it comes time to have to pull those things out, you better be ready with the tools to get that stuff open, because it can get pretty challenging if you don't have manual can openers and bucket openers. And even things like the tool to shut off the gas line to your home. There are a lot of emergency types of little tools that you're going to need to have it, you know, as your backup, because if it comes to that, I doubt that you're going to have electricity. So anything that you use on a daily basis, your can opener, you know, your oven, your stove, and all these things, what is going to be your backup? And I have rocket stoves, I have my sun oven, you know, I have all the tools that I need to be able to easily access all of my food. But those are the types of things that you need to be aware of as well. And I don't want to overwhelm people, you know, with all the things that you're going to need, but getting your food and being able to have access to it and then preparing it. Keep those things in mind. And don't overlook even the smallest detail, because opening a 5-gallon bucket that is sealed is not something you're going to go out there with brute strength and open. It's hard to do. I've tried it many ways, and I'm not a, you know, shrinking little violet. I'm a pretty stout, you know, southern bred gal. I couldn't do it. And so you can get a little plastic bucket opener for a few dollars. You can get your, you know, crank style can openers and so forth for a few dollars, but you need to keep that in mind when you're starting to store your food, is again how you're going to get to it. But as importantly, you're going to need to learn how to use it, how to prepare it before the time comes. And that's why I experiment a lot with recipes for food, you know, with my food storage in different ways, sprouting the seeds for greens. And there's a lot of things you can do with your food, so you just need to be aware and do some pre-planning. And I'm not going to overwhelm you with everything, because that's a whole new, you know, segment of itself. But, you know, we do have all of the equipment that you need. I would encourage anyone, if you're interested, I have a link on my blog at the very top of my blog to go to my Thrive business store, my Thrive store, and you can just browse around in there and see all the things that are available.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about the something to think about. Like, yeah, I've got the food grade; they were brand new. We chose because we found a great deal on them, and they weren't that much more than the used ones. You know, you say, oh, we'll buy a used food grade water storage bin that may have used syrup for Dr. Pepper, this, that, or the other. But we found brand spanking new, never used, food grade 55-gallon plastic barrels that we bought. In fact, we and when I was in Atlanta in the subdivision, we teamed up with a group of folks in our subdivision, whether they wanted them for food, water storage or rain collection, whatever. And we had the guy deliver them. He had a landscape trailer. He stacked them all up there and came through. And we ordered enough for him to make the trip down to Atlanta, probably about a two-hour drive from where he was at, to deliver them. And then you're like, okay, well, how am I going to get the water out of these barrels effectively, easily, you know? And so you think about the siphon with the little squeeze knob, squeeze pump on it to get the water out, like you have on the water bobs as well. How am I going to get this water out? You know what? How long will this water stay fresh? Do I need to have just some Clorox, the bleach to make it drinkable, or additive tablets, this, that, or the other? And I will mention this. I may have mentioned it on another show you were here. And you have to, folks, be careful, because as with everything, I tell folks every day when I'm doing my presentations, we know there's a big chicken movement across the country, because I guarantee you there would not be companies making chicken toys if there weren't people to buy them. You know, there wouldn't be special chicken treats that large companies would be making if there weren't people to buy them. Same thing with kind of the storage and the prepping. My buddy went out and he bought a tiny little vial and a little plastic fancy, you know, display thing. It's tiny, probably, you know, just a couple of ounces or whatever, 3 ounces, 3.5 ounces, little tube. And it said water purification tube, or, you know, whatever. And I forget what he paid for it. It must have been, you know, $5, $6, $7, or it may not have been quite that much. Probably, let's say, around $5. And he bought it, you know, maybe off a website or something. Let me add this to water purification. And he got it home. And later, you know, as we got more and more educated on it, and he pulled it out and was looking at it, he looked at an ingredient, and it basically, the ingredient was bleach.
Yeah, which is, yeah, plenty of.
he had a packaging tube that was ended up being just bleach, and he paid all this money for it. So it was that was interesting. So again, kind of also with this, buyer beware with with a lot of things that you may see out there. You know, and I've seen Penny. There's one actually where we used to live in a very not that we were there. We lived in the yuppity area, but where we used to live in Atlanta, there is now a prepper store, brick and mortar, in a strip mall, and I forget what it's called.
Sweet.
And so I know they are starting to pop up around as well. We were driving by, and I saw something like North Fulton Preppers or whatever, you know, that type of thing. And then you walk in, and they've got the, you know, everything that we're, you're talking about when you come on the show there. I hadn't been in there, but it's I noticed it. So they're starting to have the brick and mortar stores where people are ordering, I guess, wholesale and reselling retail like that for so people don't have to buy it online or this type of thing. So I've seen those popping up. So it's and I just want to make clear too for maybe some first time listeners that as with this, some of you may be like, hey, you know, from day one, this show's always been about, as you hear in the intro, backyard poultry, self sustaining lifestyle, living self-sufficiently, and this is a part of that. So since day one, the last 5 years of broadcasting, we've talked about preparedness. We've had different folks come on over the 5 years and share their knowledge and experience. So that's why we take time to do this, because we think it's important. It's all about the show, and it's always been a portion of the show. So we're talking about, you know, the certain type of can openers. We don't even own an electric can opener. We have the old, I think what they're called, P-35s, the military little can openers that you can get.
Oh, those little, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're called P-38s, I think is what they're called. And they make two different sizes. There's a tiny little size, and there's one a little bit larger that's a little bit easier on your thumb and finger. And that's what we have here. That's what we have in the camper. No electric can opener, no even manual one, that you know, fancy one that you have the key and you twist and that type of thing. And Jen's not real fond of these, I'll tell you. It's a little difficult for her sometimes to open certain cans. Of all cans are not created equal. I mean, some, but so that's every time we go to a gun show, I'll buy two or three. They're pretty cheap, 50 cents a piece, three for a dollar, two for a dollar, and I'll just throw them in a bucket or something to have. But a lot of people are familiar with those. That's what we use here. Just like we talked about when you were on earlier about grain and grinders, you think about, oh, I just got this beautiful $350 grain mill, but it uses electricity. So now electricity's out. What are you going to do? So now I have all this grain. I have all these wheat berries, but I can't grind them to make my bread because I don't have any electricity. And the one I bought was electric, not necessarily a hand turn, or having the option of both. So again, more things to think about.
Well, and a regular can opener. Things you can get. A lot of the things that you can get at Dollar General stores or dollar stores, whatever you call them in your area, I get an awful lot of my supplies at dollar stores. And you can pick manual can openers there. The one that I like that we sell is specifically made for the big number 10 cans. And my husband has got some arthritis in his thumb, and he can't really work it very well. So the one I have is a great big number 10 can opener, although it can be used on any size, but it's a big crank and it's got a handle to hold on to. So, that is what we keep in our house to get the number 10 cans open. And it's real smooth. It's real easy. People with physical limitations, like arthritis in their hands can do that. We even have, and I haven't bought it yet, but I'm really seriously considering it. I have a grain mill, and I love my grain mill. It's a Country Living grain mill, so I can hook it up to a bicycle or just manually do it. I can put it on a motor on it, so it's very versatile in that area. But everything I do, I always think about doing it without electricity. And so if you can get in that mindset and start looking at things that way, you'll come up with a lot of creative ideas on how you're going to get things done. There are even the manual crank blenders out there. Very interesting to me, because I love my smoothies and my iced coffees. So, if you're in a FHTF kind of situation, and you're into your food storage, it doesn't mean it has to be all nasty and you can't enjoy it.
Yeah. So. Imagine all the golden stuff you can get at garage sales and flea markets that just people turn their nose up now. Like, and I'll tell you this, me and Jen love the old show Green Acres. It's kind of almost kind of like our little life story, if you will, moving from the city to the country. And so we, you know, the CD box set, whatever. And so I was on eBay one day, and this was probably about 4 or 5 years ago, and I saw a egg mixer, a hand egg mixer, a hand beater that, you know, you turn the little thing around and around, and it was I don't know why I bought it, but it was certified and came with documentation that it was used in an episode of Green Acres. And so I said, hey, this can be twofold. I can display it in our little trinket shelf and be cool because we're Green Acres fans, and this was used in one of the episodes. But also I can use it as, hey, this is not electric, and it's, but imagine all the egg beaters and all the things like that, from even the woodworking tools. I remember my dad had tools that, you know, drills and things that you would hand crank and it would turn and you could drill right through wood, you know, all these things that now people are cleaning out their attics, getting rid of. I'll never use that again. Or so the flea markets and the garage sales, all this great stuff that you can find. That we, mom and dad, grandparents used, that people are like, I don't want that anymore, that we can pick up regarding that. But, yeah, vice and bit and things like that, and from the chat room here. But, you know, I was thinking, it's and I was laughing in the back, and you probably heard me, I was thinking that if I, oh, my goodness, I hope all this never comes to play. But if I told Jen, some of our, I mean, we've had some good gardens in the past, and some gardens we've been like, oh, my, if we ever had to survive on what we grew ourselves, we would starve and starve very quickly, and it's not even funny because we'll look, you know, we'll look outside and we'll be like, we'd starve, Jen. That's the bottom line. So that's why we have some canned food and some 30-year food, and because, you know, sometimes there are droughts, the lack of water, there's heat, there's, you know, frosts and things, you know, so you try to have that garden where you can grow your own, but sometimes I look and I'm like, we'd be in a world of hurt if we had to depend on this garden to feed our family.
Well, and still, you know, I haven't been doing this all that long, and my garden yields so far have not been as good, nearly good enough to be able to support us for a whole year. Hopefully this year I have learned enough that I'm going to do a lot better, but that's why I love my local farmers markets, because I've relied heavily on them to get my produce and things that I can't grow so that I can can it and dehydrate it and what have you. But yeah, that's why I say you can't rely solely on yourself. No one person can do everything. So you have to be able to, you know, get a network going, get some friends. I'm so fortunate where I live. We have several preppers right here in our little development. And I think people would actually be surprised to know how many people around them are secret preppers or, you know, closet preppers. I think there are a lot more out there. And like you mentioned about the backyard chicken supplies, the toys and the trinkets and things, obviously there's a market for it, and that's why prepper supplies and companies are popping up all over the place, because there is a demand for it. And it's not just us people out here who are vocal about doing it. There's a lot of people out there that are just doing it.
I'll tell you, the two of the best finds that we found at dollar stores, one was at a kind of a privately owned dollar, I think it was called Dollar King or something, and we found it, and we bought every single one they had, and I always get the name confused, but it's those little fuel canisters underneath when you go to like these events, and they have the food sitting up as a paraffin or whatever. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, anyway. I don't know, but I know what you're talking about.
Those little cans of fuel that sit under the food when you go to these events and these big buffets and things. But they had those for two for a dollar. I think they were 50 cents a piece, and they were pretty decent sized cans. And I bought two or three. Sterno, yeah. I bought two or three. two or three, and took home just to see how I could utilize them. And so I popped the thing, I lit the gel inside, and I tested it. I got different pots, a stainless steel pot, and my cast iron pot, and I set rigged something where I could set it over that, and I checked how long, if I put this pot half full of water, would this produce enough heat to boil this water? Because, you know, hey, I don't want to buy these things if they're not working, if they're not, you know. So, and it worked. So I set up this little thing where I could check both my cast iron and my, I guess I had some stainless steel at the time, and put it under there, lit it, checked about how long it took for it to actually boil the water, and then how many times I could boil water with one of those cans. And so, or come up to bring it to a boil, and then I'd snuff it out, and then I would try again and see how. So we ended up buying, probably one or maybe 2 5-gallon buckets full of these little cans of fuel. Mm-hmm. And I think they were $2 for $1. So that was one of our awesome dollar store finds. And then the other at the same place was some N95 masks. As well. Yeah. Now, back in the day, there were, and you can probably still Google it and probably maybe still find some on the market, but N95 was kind of the go-to mask to have a few of around the house. We found those for, I don't know, maybe $2 for $1 or something, maybe $1 a piece, and that was cheap for a good N95 mask. So we bought a boatload of those, put them in a 5-gallon bucket. And then, you can probably still find them. I'm not going to go Google it right now, but there was a mask that was supposedly even better than N95, and it was called the Nano mask. And it came out, and you had the plastic shell of the mask, and you could buy the filters that would go in there. And it talked about when it came out, that N95 wouldn't protect you from this, 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 and this. And I think it was back when the bird flu was starting, you know, or had the panic, what, a decade ago? Mm-hmm. Man, I guess. And so people are talking about all these, man. So the Nano mask, you met people. And then, of course, they ran out of those for a while. Thank goodness I got my supply. And then, of course, they came back. I bought a few more. But you can probably research that or Google that. And it's called the Nano, N-A-N-O, Nano mask, which would eliminate even more particles than an N95 down to the nano-sized particles for protection of you and your family. And so that you can Google that, folks, if you hadn't heard about or do research about the nano mask. And then what was the other thing? We can maybe at a later episode actually talk about respiratory and mask and things like that. Military issue gas mask, your Israel issue gas mask, the surplus from the Israel military, and they even have child sizes I've seen, and they range anywhere from about $9.95 for maybe a German mask that doesn't include the filters, and up to $19.95, which is really about the same. $19.95 is kind of the going rate for a military surplus Israel gas mask. And then they have different ones that go much higher in price than that, even if they're military surplus, different officers' mask or this, that, or the other. And then you have the NATO filters that obviously screw onto the mask itself. So that can be an episode we'll talk about in the future, all kinds of different masks that may be worthless to have or to have, or maybe the oak coveralls and boots to have if you're concerned about this, that, or the other. And then, of course, somebody is out there sitting there, I know, listening to the show going, well, I sure as heck don't want to do any of this they're talking about because I don't want to live in that world. I just assume be dead. And I hear that a lot, you know, from my dad or from maybe a neighbor you talk to
God
about.
God gave us,
you know,
free will.
Exactly. And it's like, you know, I don't know if I want to live in that post world. That just doesn't sound fun to me. And I think assume just be dead than living in some kind of world like that where I have to have this stuff or this is taking place. I don't even want to think about it. So, and I appreciate that view as well. And I run into folks like that every now and then. But for the others that want to get started or been thinking about getting started, that's why we have the preppers and on occasion like Prepper Penny. And Penny, why don't you tell us a little bit how, again, they can follow you on Facebook and Twitter and, of course, your website and your blog and, of course, a little bit about your store one more time. Let's do that first, and then I may go to a commercial break, and then we can come back and wrap up any other last tidbits of information we want to share with the folks today.
Well, I try to keep it easy for people to find me. All you have to do is Google Prepper Penny, and you can find my blog is at prepperpenny.com. I'm on Facebook at Prepper Penny. I'm also on Twitter and Pinterest. So I pin a lot of things on Pinterest. Good Little Prepper Things is the name of that board, and it's just a lot of varied information accumulated by a lot of great people out there that will help you too. So I would encourage you, if you're interested in prepping, to follow that board on my Pinterest account. But there is some confusion because now there are some penny preppers out there with spaces between it, but I am always Prepper Penny, all one word, and you can find me just about in every social media.
Awesome. Sounds great. So hopefully y'all can go and follow on Facebook and Twitter as well. Visit her online store, check out her blog, and not only get educated, but maybe start that monthly allotment of things for that $50 a month, $75 a month, $100 a month, just so you too can have that peace of mind. And it's just insurance. How much do you pay every month for your car insurance? You're not going to go out and plan on having a car accident today, are you? No, but you pay that monthly insurance note, or that quarterly or yearly. You don't plan on your house burning down today, do you? No, of course you don't. But guess what? You've got homeowner's insurance. You don't plan on having a heart attack and needing a $100,000 bypass, but you may have health insurance. Now, I say that lightly because a lot of people don't, but and you pay that health insurance premium, but you don't anticipate that happening. This is the same thing. We hope none of this happens. We don't want it to happen. You just heard me. I said, oh my gosh, we're in trouble if we have to depend on our garden to survive. It's an issue of, it's just another type of insurance. If it's not used, you've got peace of mind, and hallelujah, it's not used. But if it's if you need it, then it's just another form of insurance. And a lot of this stuff will last 30 years. So once I'm dead and gone, then Caleb and Lily can.
And look at what you get to inherit to your children. A lot of food.
that's exactly right. And we know history, a lot of time repeats itself. So, all righty, folks, we're going to go to a commercial break, and we'll come back. We're going to continue with a little bit more things we might want to know about, things you may not think about. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. And you can find all the great Ware products here. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
Today's special guest segment is brought to you by NatureWise Natural Poultry Feeds by Nutrina. NatureWise Natural Poultry Feeds by Nutrina are the natural choice for nutritionally balanced feed for your flock and contain only fresh, wholesome ingredients. Learn more at NutrinaNatureWise.com. That's NutrinaNatureWise.com.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Another great episode with Prepper Penny, and talking all about some great things we may not want to think about, but we may have to, may choose to do. So, Penny, thank you very much for staying with us today. And on your outline there for today's show, things you wanted to cover, is there anything else you wanted to make sure you got out to these great folks and listeners of ours today before we say goodbye and look forward to another episode with you?
Well, there's nothing anymore that I really need to cover. Anybody that would have any questions to elaborate on what I've discussed today, you can email me at prepperpenny@gmail.com, and I answer all my emails within hours. So if you have any questions, please don't anyone hesitate to give me, shoot me out a question. So I'm always here for you.
That's super. And give us that website one more time.
It's my email address is prepperpenny@gmail.com, and then my website address is http://www.prepperpenny.com.
Prepperpenny.com. Alrighty, that is awesome. Thank you very much for coming on today. We look forward to having you back on in a couple of weeks. We'll get together, put our heads together, and think of another topic that would help folks that may just be, have been kind of like chickens, you know, oh, I've been thinking about it for a while. Maybe I'll jump off the fence this year and do this, or maybe it's time to go ahead and get started, and maybe I'll start that Thrive account for maybe just $25 a month, you know, maybe just to get me started, or whatever the case may be.
And it's no commitment. If you decide that it's not working out in your best interest, you can always stop it. You're not locked into any kind of a commitment. So it's a really good way to try the products.
That's awesome. Sounds great. Thank you very much for joining us. We wish you all the best here in the next couple of weeks before we have you on again. And we thank you for tuning in, everybody out there in Radio Land. A big thanks to all the over-the-road truck drivers that tune in, the homeschoolers that incorporate the show in their curriculum, the live listeners, the chat room chickeneers, the archive listeners from iTunes, and all the feed and seeds that stream the show live every day to their listeners. We thank you very much. Tomorrow, Garden Wise Living with Arlena. Like I said on the show a couple of times, boy,
enjoy? Do I need to take notes when Arlena's on? Again, we have some beautiful gardens here, and then sometimes it just doesn't seem to pan out, and we were relying on it to survive. We would have long passed. But tomorrow, Garden Wise Living with Arlena. Thursday, we've got Poultry Today with Dr. McCray, Dr. Bridget McCray, PhD poultry scientist, this Thursday. And then we're taking a little sabbatical, if you will, a little spring break, a little vacation. And so no broadcasting for about a week. But we'll return on April the 29th with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. And, of course, in the meantime, be collecting those secret passwords. I don't believe I posted the one yet today, but I still have another 11 hours before the day ends over here at Eastern Standard Time. So I'll post today's secret password here a little bit later. So thank you very much for tuning in. We hope you have a wonderful and blessed day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. All right. God bless everybody.
Ha ha.